Hello, and thanks for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. Democrats wrap up their week-long party tonight with Kamala Harris taking the stage to accept her nomination for president. We'll have a preview of that. We're looking at a little bit of it right now. And later in the program, we'll have a live conversation with Mayor Brandon Johnson to reflect on the city's performance in the national spotlight this week. We begin our coverage tonight with Amanda Vinicky inside the United Center and a look at what Illinois delegates say they're hoping to hear this evening. Amanda.
Yes, Brandis, as you noted, things are getting underway literally right now because for the second time, Democrats are trying to elect a woman to the White House instead of Republican Donald Trump. And tonight, delegates who've been in Chicago since Monday are going to be hearing from their joyful warrior, Vice President Kamala Harris.
She's going to fire us up. She is going to assure us. And I think that's what it is, that she has got to the heart and soul of people.
Highland Park Mayor Nancy Rotering is a Kamala OG, as in an original backer. She was a slated delegate for Harris's first short-lived presidential campaign.
The OGs love Kamala. Having watched her as an attorney general in California was when I was running for attorney general. I felt a camaraderie with her when she moved to the Senate. She was just doing great things, as Senator Durbin mentioned earlier this morning on the Judiciary Committee. She's just bright, and she's authentic. She gets it done.
Rotering and other Illinois OGs got together early this week for what Rotering called a celebration. She says that Harris's time is overdue. You know, as mayor, Rotering was part and was walking in that 2022 Independence Day parade that was cut short by a deadly mass shooting. Rotering says that if Harris and Democrats win in November, they need to take action on gun violence. A ban on combat-style weapons, background checks, digital registration. She says that there is a lot of action that could be taken, but she says really what it comes down to is the federal government leading a coordinated approach. I also spoke with head of Cook County Democratic Party, Tony Preckwinkle, who also leads the county board, and she says that Republicans, largely due to violence, have wrongly made Chicago their whipping boy. She says under a President Harris, she believes that Chicago and Cook County will be treated fairly again.
Kamala Harris has talked about the importance of building a supply of affordable housing, that many of our families are struggling to pay their rent or are looking toward home ownership and finding that out of reach. So that's a really important initiative. And, you know, investing more in public education across the country. I'm a teacher. And, you know, especially in a city like Chicago, where our public schools have been underfunded for as long as I've lived here.
There's next to no doubt that Harris is going to win in Illinois. And Preckwinkle says already the party is organizing, sending volunteers to battleground states like Wisconsin in an effort to get Harris elected. This is going to be the first time that Illinois' youngest delegate, that's 19-year-old Claire Sakowitz, she is a college student originally from the suburbs, is going to be voting for anyone. And she says that she is excited that her first ballot will be cast for Harris.
I've never really seen myself represented in that way before. And I heard this quote the other day. It was, be the representation you wish you had when you were younger. And I see that in Kamala Harris right now. And I hope that I can be that for someone later in my life and later in my career.
Now, before Harris, we are going to be hearing as well from Illinois Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, and then also from a former Illinois Congressman, Republican Adam Kinzinger, who has tweeted, and he says that really he believes that this is about taking down Trump, and he is going to speak to what he says is the former president's cowardice. There's also, by the way, a lot of hype about who is in previous nights might be making a surprise guest appearance, and might that be Beyonce? I don't know. Back to you, Brandis.
We'll have to find out, Amanda. Looking forward to it. We'll see you later on. Now we go to Heather Sharone. She's outside Wintrust Arena near McCormick Place with Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. Heather.
Brandis, I'm here with Mayor Johnson. Mayor Johnson, you said you wanted this convention to rewrite Chicago's narrative. Has it?
Well, thank you, first of all, for being here. And I'm so grateful to all the Chicagoans of who showed up for the world. Look, I promised a safe, vibrant, exciting convention, and that's what we delivered for the people of Chicago. And it's a true testament to who we really are and why we are the center of attention. We are also the global capital of the world, and the entire world got a chance to fall in love again with Chicago.
Superintendent Larry Snelling said he was incredibly proud of the way the police officers handled the protest and that it was evidence of a police department transformed. Did they pass the test this convention posed to CPD?
They most certainly did. You know, when I selected Superintendent Snelling to run our police department, I knew exactly who and what we were getting, someone who's compassionate, collaborative, and competent. The training that our brave women and men have gone through in order to really produce constitutional policing is a true example of how we protect the First Amendment rights, but that we also ensure that the value of protest is also protected. And our law enforcement, I couldn't be more proud of how the Chicago Police Department responded in this moment.
Many of the protests centered on the war in Gaza. You were the first mayor of a major American city to call for a ceasefire. And you told Mother Jones this week that Israel's conduct in that war is genocidal. Are you concerned that those comments have opened a breach with parts of Chicago's Jewish community and your administration?
Well, keep in mind that I was also the first mayor, and we were the first major city to condemn the acts of terror. Look, what Hamas has done and the terror that it has caused across the globe, and particularly against the Israeli people, we've condemned it in very certain, emphatic terms. And we're also the city that has called for the releasing of the hostages right now and a permanent ceasefire. Look, I'm a part of a political party that can condemn acts of terror, call for the releasing of hostages, and call for peace. I believe that actually speaks to what Americans want. It's really what the globe want. We want an end to these wars that are causing so much devastation around the globe. And that is the creed that this city has imbibed since its inception, quite frankly, right? This is the place where Dr. King made it very clear. If we can do it right in Chicago, we can do it anywhere else in the world. And much like we had a generation ago respond to a crisis, this generation is doing it in a very emphatic way. And it really speaks to our balanced approach, again, of condemning hate, condemning the acts of terror, and also calling for peace.
The city was braced for thousands of migrants to arrive in Chicago from Texas. That didn't happen. What is the next phase of the city's approach to the crisis look like in just a couple of seconds?
Well, look, we have the most expansive new arrivals mission anywhere in the country right now. It is compassionate and it is fiscally responsible. But here's what has to happen. The city of Chicago has been attacked by the state of Texas. And we are rising above that. We're still making critical investments on the west and south sides of Chicago, but we need comprehensive immigration reform. President Biden pushed for it, got a bipartisan deal with the Senate, but Trump Republicans blocked it. And that's why we cannot go backwards. We have to move our country forward, and we're going to do that with Vice President Kamala Harris, where the city of Chicago will once again make history.
Thanks very much, Brandon Johnson, for joining us here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Brandis, back to you.
Heather, thanks to you, and of course, the mayor as well. For the fourth day in a row, demonstrators are making their opposition to the DNC loud and clear, demanding a ceasefire in Gaza and an end to U.S. aid to Israel. Nick Blumberg is at Union Park near the United Center where a protest rally is underway. Nick.
Well, Brandis, about 100 or so protesters briefly blocked Ashland Avenue about an hour ago. A Chicago police spokesman told me he wasn't aware of any arrests. Now, former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy was apparently trying to get the crowd riled up, but he was chased away with people calling him a racist and a Trump supporter. Now, organizers say they think their demonstrations have started to shift Democrats' narratives on taking credit for Joe Biden saying in his DNC speech on Monday that, quote, those protesters out in the street, they have a point, though we should note that Biden went on to say, quote, a lot of innocent people are being killed on both sides. Still, activists say that acknowledgement is a step in the right direction. Take a listen.
The whole world is watching. The whole world will continue to watch today. They're going to continue to watch for three more months. And if the Democrats and Kamala Harris don't do something or say something different, they're going to lose. And when they lose that election, they better not come and say that the Palestinians are responsible or that our mass movement is responsible. The only people responsible are the people who are complicit in the murder of 40,000 Palestinians.
Now, as you mentioned, there have been protests and marches all throughout the week, both permitted and, shall we say, unofficial, ranging from the hundreds to the thousands. But there haven't been any large-scale arrests. The vast majority of arrests came on Tuesday after a direct action targeted the Israeli consulate. As of this afternoon, officials say 72 people taken into custody. Still, the Chicago Police Department has come under fire from some activists, as well as the National Lawyers Guild, who say CPD shows of force at demonstrations serve more to intimidate than to protect, with helicopters hovering overhead and lines of cops along the streets. But Police Superintendent Larry Snelling doesn't see it this way. Here's what he had to say earlier today.
We understand how people feel at times, but we can't change our posture because we're worried about hurting individual feelings. What we want to do is get people to understand that we're out there for their safety. And I do believe that that was proven. Now, they may feel like it was intimidating because they saw so many officers, and that can be intimidating to anybody. But the way that the officers responded is proof that because they didn't stop anyone from protesting or exercising their First Amendment rights. So it's proof that our officers were out there for protection.
Nick, there's also been a sit-in by uncommitted delegates. What are they looking to achieve?
That's right. They are holding back their support for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz until there's a ceasefire in Gaza. They're also demanding to have a Palestinian speaker on the DNC stage tonight. Members of the Illinois congressional delegation have lent their support to the cause, including Representatives Delia Ramirez and Chuy Garcia. And here's what State Democratic Party Chair Lisa Hernandez had to say earlier today.
I can speak for myself. We're hearing them loud and clear. And that is very important for the party to be doing, is make sure that anyone who is concerned or wants to voice gets heard.
Now, we just got the official DNC speaker lineup just after 5 o'clock, and there doesn't appear to be anyone who meets the sit-in's demands. As for the rally that's happening behind me, they're set to march to the United Center at 6:30. Brandis.
All right, Nick Blumberg, thanks so much. Now, with more analysis of the convention so far and a look ahead to tonight, we're joined in studio by Santita Jackson, a political commentator and host of the Santita Jackson Show. Santita also attended Howard University with Kamala Harris. And State Representative Travis Weaver, a Republican from Peoria. Thanks to the both of you for joining us. So tonight's the big finish, right? What have you made of this convention so far? Santita, I'll start with you, please.
And I attended Whitney Young with...
With
the First Lady.
The First Lady, former First Lady Michelle Obama.
That's right.
So you know them all.
Well, I do, I do. And I'm excited about what I've seen them, who I've seen them become. I think that's a wonderful American story. But what I expect to hear tonight is a Kamala Harris who's going to be supportive of family. She's someone who's focused on maternal mortality. She's looking at home ownership. She's looking at a lot of issues that are bedeviling American families today. And so I'm looking forward to hearing that, and I want to hear more. I'd love to see what she's going to say about ceasefire. I want to see more balance there, because that is a crisis that we have to shut down. We need to have justice for Palestinians. We need to have security for Israelis, and I think that that can happen. And I believe that she has the inclination to do it, but what we in the activist community are going to have to do is help her help us.
Representative Weaver, your thoughts so far on the convention?
It's been an interesting week, there's no doubt about it. Actually, I think my mother said it best, though. She said that it seems like the Democrats have Hollywood and the Republicans have math. And so when we look at the speakers this week, we may perhaps see Beyonce this evening, we saw Steve Kerr, we saw Spike Lee. It's exciting, there's a lot to see, but it seems kind of like Hollywood. But when you look at, I think, the Republican platform, it's more about math. It's about shutting down the border, growing the economy, growing jobs. And I really think at the end of the day, that's what people want from their government.
Santita, part of the convention, you know, it's to reach out to undecided voters. We've heard a little bit of that, right? We heard Oprah calling on independents last night. Do you think the Democrats have done a good job this week so far of messaging and maybe swaying some of those undecided voters?
I do, but if I may say, with all due respect, I think it is mathematical. to be compassionate to people. The child tax credit is very important. And I think you can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. I think we can have an exciting convention, and I think we can also have a convention in which we push humane values. I think that we both want the same things. We just have different ways of getting there, you know, to be fair.
And we've got 30 seconds, Representative Weaver. I'll let you respond.
Yeah, so for this evening, I'd love to see, I think, two questions from Vice President Harris. I have a how and a who question. Who is she? It's been over a month now since she's become the Democrat nominee. We still have seen no press conferences from her. She has not answered the hard questions. And how is she going to govern? She has governed on an open border. She says she won't. She has said she's against fracking. She says she's not anymore. So I think there's still a lot of questions that people are asking of who is Kamala Harris? How is she going to govern? We still haven't had those answers yet. My hope is that tonight we will. My suspicion is that we won't.
All right. We've got a long night ahead, everybody, and we'll see whose questions get answered. Thanks to Santita Jackson, Travis Weaver. We're going to hear from both of you in a little bit as well again. There has been a lot of talk about Kamala Harris and her identity, both as an Indian American and a Black American. Our Joanna Hernandez spoke with some Chicagoans to get further insight. Joanna.
Brandis, Kamala Harris' presidential bid has already been a whirlwind. It's been just over a month since Joe Biden dropped out of the race and Harris was catapulted to the forefront. If she beats Donald Trump in November, she'll be the first woman in the Oval Office and the first person with Jamaican ancestry and the first person of South Asian descent. Her historic candidacy is not lost on the people who see themselves in her.
It's not so much the fact that she's South Asian American. To us, it's her message, what she signifies.
Shireen Ahmad is a director of Chicago's South Asia Institute. She hopes Harris can provide greater representation for the broad community.
One of the things that we've often said is that they associate us with Bollywood and butter chicken. But there's so much more to our South Asian community.
Harris is the daughter of immigrants. Her mom moved from India in the 1950s, while her father immigrated from Jamaica in 1961.
Together, we will build what
Kamala Harris represents and reflects the best of us. She represents a spirit of excellence, one where we take pride in knowing that she is one of our own.
Lester Barkley is the honorary Jamaican consulate of Chicago, and says he's excited for the prospect of a president with Jamaican heritage.
I believe that our ancestors are smiling, saying, good job, we're proud of you, you're Jamaican.
We are the majority, and so the fact that we are not reflected in the most senior positions of power and influence has nothing to do with ability, aspiration, or ambition. It has everything to do with access.
Erin Gallagher started Hype Women for Harris shortly after Harris became the Democratic nominee. She, among others, are galvanizing women to put the first woman in the White House this fall.
I feel it is my responsibility every day to use whatever privilege and platform I have to push this forward. And all of the people who push back on us and say, you only want this because she's a woman. Yeah, we do want it because she's a woman. That's one of 500 reasons that we want it.
Kamala Harris would not be where she is, and she's recognized it and even mentioned it, without standing on shoulders of people like my great-grandmother who fought for women to have the right to vote.
Michelle Duster is an educator and historian who has direct connection to a woman who advanced the political landscape. Her great-grandmother is suffragist and Chicago icon, Ida B. Wells. Duster says she's proud to back the Harris-Wells ticket.
To have a woman and obviously a person of color, both in one person, to be the nominee is amazing. And I hope that people really do understand how far we've come as a country and what it took for Kamala to be where she is.
And of course, all eyes will be on Harris, and she is set to close tonight's DNC. Brandis, back to you.
Joanna, thank you. After this quick break, we check back in with Amanda Vinicky at the United Center with a member of Illinois' congressional delegation.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
And now we go back to the United Center, where Amanda Vinicky is standing by with Congresswoman Delia Ramirez. Amanda.
Yes, I am, Brandis. By the way, we've got a Chicago DJ who Congresswoman Delia Ramirez is dancing along to a little bit. So fun, but let's get to some serious topics, because outside the convention hall, we've had protesters. They want to hear from a Palestinian tonight. And there are also those who say they are not going to cast their vote for President Harris over the Palestine issue. What are you telling them? Should they still vote for the Democratic ticket, and why?
Look, let me first tell you what I am telling the campaign. I'm telling the campaign, we have to earn their vote. We have to make sure that they know that we hear them and see them. And it's a missed opportunity if after this great music, amazing speakers, we don't have a Palestinian speaker in this place. Palestinians have the biggest diaspora in Chicago. We should be listening to them, and we should be building a relationship where they can trust us, where we'll earn their vote, and they will vote for us.
The people that you have encountered here that are saying no, be it uncommitted delegates or protesters, are you trying to convince them to vote for Harris despite that disagreement?
Democracy is a beautiful thing, and we're trying to create the most broader coalition. Look, we're having fun here. People are dancing, but you and I both know it's 50-50. This is going to be a head-to-head race. We need every single vote possible, but I'm not going to dismiss people's frustration and anger, and certainly not being here tells them that we don't see them, we don't hear them.
Something that we will certainly be watching for. Let's say that President Harris is in fact elected. Immigration is one of your top issues. Your husband, I believe, is a dreamer, so it's personal as well. What specifically do you want the administration to advance when it comes to immigration?
I want comprehensive immigration reform, and I think we all want it. We have been telling the immigrant communities to be patient. Next election, but we've been waiting since 1986. I believe that the daughter of immigrants that we are going to elect to the White House has the ability, has a proven record to do the things that maybe the guys have not been able to do, right? But here's an opportunity. Within the first 100 days, I want to work with her tirelessly to create a pathway to citizenship for dreamers. And then we take it from there, work permits, and the list goes on. There are Republicans who support pathway for dreamers. We should make that happen first 100 days.
I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Congresswoman Delia Ramirez. Back to you.
Amanda, thank you. And, of course, our thanks to the Congresswoman as well. So for some closing thoughts from Santita Jackson and State Rep Travis Weaver before the final night of the DNC kicks off. Representative, I want to pick up on something that we've been hearing about a little bit. And, of course, it is about the crisis in Gaza. excuse me. We've got, you know, protesters in the streets. Who do you think has been stronger on this issue?
Well, I think it's an interesting question because we didn't see this protest at the RNC. The people that are protesting now are members of the Democrat Party. And I think it is interesting to contrast that to what we're hearing of the messaging of the Party of Joy. It's hard to say that they're the Party of Joy when you have protesters in the street protesting your pathway. And then also the fact that we arrived on the current candidate by staging a coup on the last candidate. So the whole Party of Joy thing doesn't jive for me. I would like to see at least a position taken on Palestine from Vice President Harris. Unfortunately, you go to her website, there's actually no positions on anything. I think that gets back to my how and who. Who is she? How is she going to lead? What are her objectives going
to
be?
Well, we need to hear from her tonight. Santita Jackson, on Monday, the convention honored your father, Representative Jesse Jackson, acknowledging the, quote, seeds he planted, the work that he did, of course, as a civil rights leader and a senator. What was that moment like for you and your family?
Well, it was very exciting. When I see him as I'm looking at him now, I thought of so many people. I thought of Mayor Marion Barry. I thought of Mayor Richard Hatcher. I thought of Cedar Lawrence Tucker, who's the first African-American woman to hold a statewide office. I thought of so many people, nameless, faceless people, who pushed that presidential run, and to see the seeds that they planted, to see them come to fruition. I think that whether we're Republican or Democrat, I think that we can celebrate that. We now have women who can get on tickets, which is something that he pushed for. So we had Liddy Dole, and then we had Geraldine Ferraro. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And so it was a proud moment for us. But, you know, my father doesn't want us to stop here. He says, get people registered to vote, and let's win in the fall. Yep. Representative.
He's not giving up. The man's not done. All right. Thanks to Santita Jackson, Representative Travis Weaver. We'll see you again tonight at the 10 o'clock show. Thank you so much. Because that's our show for now. Be sure to join us for more live coverage tonight after the convention around 10 or so as we break down the final day of the Democratic National Convention. In the meantime, be sure to check out our website for a live blog covering the very latest news from the convention. And stay tuned for convention coverage from our friends at the PBS NewsHour. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and we'll see you around 10.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm dedicated to preserving the dignity and rights of all individuals.